Okay, welcome back to Tip TV Finance, and we're joined by in the studio by a couple. Well, I'm joined by a couple of people I can almost regard as friends. I've already been tussling with regarding you as a friend, Alan Green, CEO of Baron Communications, but Paul Rodriguez, definitely. I've known you for many years.
Indeed.
Paul Rodriguez from Think Trading. How are you today?
I'm very well, Zach. How are you?
Well, I just fluffed up the intro, but we'll try and get on to the stocks and the markets.
Got plenty of charts here today.
Yes, I noticed that. It's like
The macro technical view of just being sort of bearish is at the moment, of course, we're in this October tomorrow is it? The anniversary of the crash, 29 years. So we're at a very interesting time.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think there are so many markets moving individually, it's better just to look at individual setups rather than the big overall market calls.
Without wanting to go into a rant, which would be raised for me.
Let's do it.
The market is so fiddled, so manipulated. Well, every day you see the DAX or the S&P or the Dow, you know, it just wobbles, and then what a surprise, just at the open of Wall Street or just in the middle of the night something, you know, they come in there, the cavalry from the plunge protection team come in there and bid it all up and it's all right again.
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, it's laughable, isn't it?
Well, there are times when the markets don't make any sense compared to fundamentals. And that's, as a technical analyst, a technical trader, you accept that to be the case most of the time. But there are times when it really is so far out of whack, it just looks ridiculous and nothing can be valued in a traditional sense anymore. And that's where we are. It's like, you know, everybody knows that everything's stretched, but what will trigger the ultimate big move.
Yeah, but while central banks are now, I mean, they're buying corporate bonds. I mean, there's no way the stock market can fall.
Well, it will do. It will do.
Because
confidence will start to turn and it will spiral and then it will go very, very quickly the other way.
Yeah, but they've got money. Yeah, but they've got money.
They have, but they've only got
money. Infinite money.
No, but they haven't, because they're raising money with bonds, and those bonds have got to be paid back by taxpayers' dollars. So,
So
what happens is the long end of the market starts to the yield curve starts to rise in terms of interest rates, which it has done already. And that's when confidence in buying government bonds starts to deteriorate, and then they're not in a position to do that anymore. So this is definitely something that will I believe, trigger, will be one key signal for the trigger of the correction.
I think there'd have to be unforeseen event, like a bomb going off or a murder or an assassination or something like that. There'd have to be something like that, because otherwise the central banks have got enough money. At 0%, you can print in an infinite amount of money.
Well, you see, that implies that they ultimately control everything. And what
they do.
They do and they don't. They do in the sense that they can hold things where they shouldn't be for a long time, like the Bank of Japan have done. But ultimately, the market decides. You know, as Margaret Thatcher said, you know, you can't buck the market will buck you. Eventually.
What happened to her? No, but the Japanese, are the living proof that 25 years on, they're still keeping the house of cards going. So therefore, it's going to be another 15 years, or we'll be having the same conversation.
Exactly.
It's going to come down. It's going to come down. It's not going to come down.
Yeah, but look what happened to the Japanese stock market. It collapsed. It was pumped up and held up, and then all the measures that were put together, lower interest rates, and you know, stimulus, et cetera, was to hold the market up. When it goes, nothing will stop it. That's the thing.
Let's whiz through this chart.
So individual stocks, just looking purely for technical setups. This is Britvic. It's broken a really interesting support level here at 576.50. I think I might need glasses, actually, but I can just about see that.
576.50, that's great.
Yeah, indeed. And it's just turning down. A big head and shoulders pattern. Very nice technical setup. I think it needs to get over and close over that 625 level, or which is where the trend line would be if it was coming back up for it to recover. But for now, that looks like a great technical signal with support coming at 518.
Okay, let's go in the next one.
The next one is B-Sky.
Sky.
Yeah, Sky. Basically Sky with the old
name.
Ticker. You've got a triangular formation here. Could it be that, you know, lots of people are watching Netflix and Amazon and all these things and moving away from that model, you know, what with sport being on other channels, etc. Whatever it might be, this is a clear technical setup, a nice little triangle. That implies a sharp move to the downside. So I'm expecting that to be moving towards the 650 area as we move towards the end of the year. Only if it goes over 950, I can see on that resistance line. If it closes above there, then it bets are off, but for now that looks like it's going down.
It's an interesting play though in the run up to Christmas, though, isn't it? Because Sky sales always go to the roof at this time of year as everyone gets their sets in pre-Christmas. So the fundamentals might buck that trend for a while. Possibly the new year, you could see that fall coming. But
I wonder how much money people will have if obviously prices of everything going up. Inflation we see has gone up to 1% today.
Yes,
and so it could be that weaker sterling might change their spending habits and people will be a bit more cautious going into year end.
Right. Okay. Next chart.
Next chart.
One you brought before.
Ferro Expo. There was a. triangular constriction that we were looking for a breakout from over the ACP level, which it went through quite nicely. It's heading towards this 121 resistance level, which I think it should be enough for this move. I think that would be, considering Lonmin was looking like it was going to go up and it hasn't moved as well, it just sort of went sideways. But Ferro Expo and Glencore actually broke out nicely to the upside, which was the move we were looking for. Yeah. But I think this will have one last move, and then it's time to take profits ahead of that 121 level.
So an excellent call, one of the best I've seen from you, Paul.
Well, it was, there's some good ones, some bad ones. So let's focus on the good ones. This is just a heads up level. Watch out for this 710 point in Green King. It's been key support. It's come back to it once, then to again. Now it's just sort of hovering near it. I don't like setups like this. A lot of traders come in and buy against support like this. I can completely understand why they would do that. But if it breaks at 710, you could have a big move to the downside. So one strategy some people employ is buy it with what's called stop and reverse. So you stop out and reverse the position if it breaks that level. So just watch out on that level.
Okay, next
710, Green King.
Contender.
Yeah. Kingston Communications. I thought this was a memory company, but actually this is a broadband company in Hull and East Anglia. This is a cup and handle setup. Some people call it that, or saucer formation. You get this sort of, this curved move, and the retracements are bought into. So it looks like it's going to break up through this 124 level. So I thought that looks like quite a nicely bullish chart. As long as it stays over 106, I'm bullish on it. So
okay, great.
It looks like an interesting company. Now, this is Gilt's daily chart on a weekly basis. So this, you can see at the top, there's a head and shoulders reversal formation. What we're focusing on is 123 key support. You can see that's rock solid. If it gets below 123, we've got big problems coming. But for the moment, 123 is the floor. But if we go if we look at the very, very short-term chart, you can actually, I think this is, it says daily, but this is actually weekly. If we go to the next chart, which will be okay, that says weekly as well. You can see that there's been a move to the downside and a close back up, which is a spike, and that spike implies some buying. So I think the market may look at this inflation data, whilst it might be volatile today, use this as an opportunity to buy, and should give sterling a lift. And I've been wrong about sterling. I was bearish a while back after Brexit, but I turned bullish, and obviously that's been wrong for the past few weeks. I think I turned bullish a little bit too early on it, but I still think sterling is an interesting call to the upside because the benefits of the lower sterling will come into the economy. I think we're going to see that into year end. So if there's talk of interest rate rises anywhere, it'd be more in the UK than US and in Europe, where they've absolutely got no chance of doing it, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, we're just a couple of charts. We're out of time, but a couple of charts just to look at quickly, if we can.
Yeah, Royal Bank of Scotland.
Royal Bank of England, I'd like to call it now.
Downward trend, still no sign. Even despite its FTSE going over 7,000, what is going on? That really does not look good. I'm worried about it, very worried. And if there was a reason for sterling to be weak, I think it's a story in the banks, and it's not a story for Brexit, but...
No, I just that was something I was thinking that when the Scots leave, we can give them the bank back.
Yeah, that's right. Why not? Yeah.
It's just, they like that sort of name and everything. So.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it should be back to NatWest. Yeah,
right. Okay. And finally,
S&P 500. We were looking at this double top, and it's coming to fruition. So this double top with huge support. We know there's big support between 2110, 2120, which is bouncing off. But this is a sell signal and. Ultimately, it could get very interesting on a break below 21 or close below 21.
Well, it needs to be below 21.10 or 5 because every time it breaks down, the plunge protection team come in and bid it up again.
I still think they're not going to be able to hold it forever. And there's been a lot of stock buybacks. You know, companies buying stock because interest rates are low, and they've tried to, I think, frighten them off that by saying we're going to raise interest rates to prevent that. And it's probably not done anything at all. But ultimately, this has to correct. So,
Paul Rodriguez, director at ThinkTrading.com. Thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure.
We'll be back after the break.